Bemich and Finley. 11 a.m. We are fired up to get to the BetQL guest line and welcome in Charles Robinson. Charles, what's going on, man? Thanks very much for making time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, fellas. How you guys doing?
Appreciate it, man.
We are doing well, man. Doing well. You can read Charles' work at yahoo.com. Check him out on Twitter at Charles Robinson. Dude, I know you cover the whole league, but the talk of the league in a lot of ways is what's happening here. Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. What have you What have you thought early on?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking the other day. So when I went on a training camp tour and I did like, I don't know, 24, 25 teams in 5 weeks. And I rolled through East Rutherford. I wanted to see his first exhibition game, and it was coming off the heels of the joint practices with the New York Jets. And I was talking to a Jets executive when I got into town and, you know, just kind of chopping it up, whatever. And unprompted, I just kind of asked him, you know, how'd the team look? You know, I'm asking about the Jets, how'd the team look in the joint practices with the Commanders? First thing he says out of his mouth, he's like, Jaden Daniels is a dude. He's like, man, they got a good one. Like I'm like, wow, like that doesn't happen. You don't normally coming out of joint practices, ask a head coach or GM or, you know, that kind of type in an organization to talk about their team. And they talk about the other guy. And wow. I was like, wow, it kind of stopped me in my tracks. And I watched the first exhibition game where they sent in the screen to Eckler. He calls the go ball to Dyami Brown. And, you know, he wasn't supposed to do that. And Dan Quinn called it the buzz the tower moment. I should have known then. Like, and I kind of wrote it then. Like, hey, there's something different about this guy. You know, when this kind of happens around him. But this start is phenomenal. I mean, the completion percentage is insane. I think when you break down, like, the analytics of it, his time to throw is just – I think he leads the league in time to throw. I think it's like 2.5 seconds, but I think on play action passes, he's under 3 seconds to get the ball. It's nuts. Like it's just completely crazy. And it's been interesting to kind of look at the charting of the offense, where he's throwing passes, how, you know, you kind of see Cliff has opened it up from games 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. Everything about it is just, it's wild to me how dynamic he's been. And I think there's been a lot of years. I've covered the league since, you know, 2000 was the first year I covered the NFL. And you go through all these years where you're like, you have these dynamic playmaking, like guys who can be quarterbacks and do all the off schedule stuff and create. And we spent a lot of years with different guys going, man, I just wish, you know, he could be a little bit better pocket passer, just a little bit. This guy is it. I think this is it. I think we got the guy who's the full package. He can be a pocket passer. You want to make him do that? He's going to do that. You want to make him do the off-schedule stuff? He can do that. He's a leader. I hate to get over my skis on him in only 4 games, but it's an amazing story. And I think, you know, I had a chance to talk to him really briefly when I went through Commander's camp, and seems like a great kid. And everything that people thought he was cracked up to be, you know, coming into that draft, you know, he's turned out to live up to all of it. You know, only thing I worry about with him is, you know, just physically, I want him to hold up, because you don't like to see guys, you know, take punishment and then eventually break.
Yeah. I think the thing about it is, like, every once in a while you see someone come along and they do things that you don't expect to happen so soon. And he seems to be that guy. Have you ever seen anything else like this where a guy steps in and you go, well, damn, you know, this early,
you know, I remember Mahomes, you know, you went through that year where he ran scout team for them. He started, I think, the last game of the regular season that year. And you would hear from all the guys coming out of practices, especially the defensive guys, are like, this kid's nuts. Like, he's crazy. They're like, you know, and they would tell you, like, just wait. Like, just wait until you see this dude. And, you know, I'm like, all right, yeah, maybe, you know. But, I mean, I remember when Mahomes obviously did. Now, that was in year two, so he had an entire year to learn the scheme, practice, you know, do what he needed to do physically. There's just, you know, but, yeah, in terms of, like, an immediate guy who, like, hits the ground running in year one, it's hard for me off the top of my head to think of, especially at the quarterback position, where you're just, like, immediately blown away. Even C.J. Stroud, I live here in Houston, it took a little bit, you know. It took – you know, 3, 4, 5 games where you're like, oh, wow, okay, this guy's really picking up steam. This is real. This is different. with Jaden, I feel like you just saw it immediately. It was just and especially the Monday nighter against Cincinnati, to make the throw that he made to Terry McLaurin. And I was talking to like Tom Brady after that, and I asked him, like, you're a quarterback, you see a safety coming and he's a free rusher and you're going to eat it. You're going to eat the hit. You know, like when you see a guy do this, like what goes through your mind? And, you know, Tom's very reserved. He doesn't like to heap a lot of praise, but he was like, look, there's just some things that you can't teach. There's some mentalities and some things that guys do that are special. And he has, it looks right now like he has that kind of a gift.
It really does, man. And I think you said it there, and Brian and I are trying to be reasonable. You don't want to overpraise a rookie quarterback after four games. You don't want to create pressure where maybe it doesn't belong. But you can look at the numbers, and the numbers are bananas, whether it's kind of your traditional statistics or you get into some of the EPA stuff or the analytics, all of it. Or you can just the eye test. Just watch the kid play football, and it's been fantastic. Yeah. We're talking with Charles Robinson here, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo on the BetQL guest line. You can follow Charles at Charles Robinson. But so, Charles, here's my question, dude. This Cleveland defense is going to be the best he's faced by a pretty wide margin, frankly, after four games. How different is this test going to be?
Well, I would say the coordinator. I mean, Jim Schwartz he's at the top of his game. I mean, he's remade that franchise. For what has not gone right for them, you know, especially with a lot of just kind of trying to get Deshaun Watson to a point where, you know, he's functional week in and week out. One of the best decisions they made was to move to Schwartz as a defensive coordinator. I mean, from a pressure standpoint, completely changed the mentality of that team. You know, they're great up front. Myles Garrett obviously is going to be, he's one of the best defensive players in the game. Everybody knows that. You know, Schwartz will throw a lot of different stuff at him. It's not, I wouldn't say it's like on the Flores, the Brian Flores level, where you're seeing like exotic stuff after the snap. And, you know, you talk to some coordinators who look at Flores and their game plan for him. They're like, there are times where I'm looking at like film and I'm still not completely understanding what I'm seeing immediately after a post snap rotation, but he's going to get some of that. There's no doubt. This is going to be his biggest challenge. And I'm excited for it, you know, but I also look at him like, what do you do when a guy is getting the ball out as quickly as he is? And, you know, I've heard it's funny because, like, I think they're losing their minds in Chicago right now with Caleb. And I saw some clip, and I just had to laugh where there was either some analyst, some Chicago, you know, media type that was like, well, Jaden Daniels is just a one-read quarterback. Right. This is one read. when the read is open, I'm like, what do you want him to do?
Right.
Let me not take that. Let me not move the offense. Let me not move the chains. That's the, you know, functionally, when you're a defensive coordinator, you're like, if we can't get to him, we have to confuse him enough to push him off that first read. If he's constantly making the right read on the first read, it's really hard to defeat that guy because you can't sack him. It's really hard to pressure him. And again, he's not, you know, he can move. He can do off schedule stuff. He can kill you with the run. And he's been really smart for the most part, you know, this season with that. And yeah, so I mean, it's going to be a nice, like it's a chess match between, and I hate to use the cliche, but it is true. Like, I don't know if a guy won't hold the ball, it's really, really hard to apply the amount of pressure you need to force them into mistakes, unless you can just disguise things so well that once the snap occurs, he's not fully understanding what he's seeing. But they're doing play action stuff. I mean, he's turning his back on defenses, you know, which is one thing. I remember kind of chopping up all these different quarterbacks and evaluating them. I remember asking teams about Jaden, and they're like, he will throw in the middle of the field, which is awesome. He's a great deep ball passer. The thing they were like, can he turn his back on the defense? Like, do play
Charles,
action stuff?
You say he would throw in the middle of the field?
Yeah, he will. Yeah.
I'm just saying because I kept hearing people talk about, oh, he don't throw in the middle of the field. I saw a film like, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah, no, that's
when you have neighbors one-on-one on the outside against a college corner, you throw it deep down the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. It's funny because, you know, when people break down that college offense and they look at it, like, as you said, Brian Thomas. Okay, what was Brian Thomas Jr. doing in that offense? He's running go routes. Like, he's going on the field. Neighbors, the same deal. I mean, that was a very vertical offense. So,
yes.
But I did not hear that criticism from teams. They're like, as a matter of fact, I had some evaluators who were like, of all the quarterbacks that they're least worried about whether or not a guy will go, you know, throw into the middle of the field. Like, Daniels was one of those guys. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's the thing about, you know, draft assessments, though. You can always find critics. You can always find, you know, people who will nitpick, you know, a player. The one thing I heard about him, you know, and I think it's probably it's an assessment that you continue to move. It's just physical. It's like, where can he go physically? Like, can he, because he would take those hard hits in college. I mean, he would sacrifice himself. The sliding thing was a big deal. You know, he's kind of a head first diver on runs at times. But
he's
like,
the last 2 weeks, though.
Yeah, I did. I saw him and Dan. I saw Dan laughing when he slid. I can't remember what game it was, but I saw him slide, and immediately they cut to Dan Quinn. I saw him laughing. I'm like, yeah, he'll get there. Just give him time.
Yeah. Isn't it so funny, though, like when guys are doing the good things, you start getting all these people trying to just knock it. Like, I remember when Tom Brady was winning all these years, oh, man, he's not that good. Pat Mahomes coming along, oh, man, I don't really like him. People don't like when you're good. So I always say, if people are hating on you, Jaden, you know you're doing something right.
I don't understand why everybody would hate on him, though. Like, I'm like, this is a good – it's a really good story. Like the command – this franchise has been – I mean, just – the fan base got to be beat down. Like, there's so many things over the years. One, you know, an ownership, the Sean Taylor statue thing, like all the – there's a million different things.
You'll be happy to know the new owners took that dumb thing down.
Oh, no, I know. I knew. No, I mean, you know, when new stadium gets done, everything, it's all going to be first class. But it's a breath of fresh air to visit with a team and go, wow, it kind of feels like this is lifted, you know, and you're like, why are you going to pile on? Like, let it be a good situation. It's nice. Like, it's good. Like, let it, you know, you don't want to just keep, it's like Detroit, okay? Like, I grew up in Michigan, the Lions for decades and decades. Like, that fan base is so beat down. And then, you know, kind of this turnaround and Dan Campbell, there's a reason why I think when I talk to other NFL fans, it's at least up until this point been pretty easy to, you know, kind of be a fan of Detroit, even though, you know, you're a fan of your own team, but you're like, okay, well, I enjoy watching, you know, the Lions because I really gravitate toward the head coach or kind of what Jared Goff's been able to do, you know, coming back, bringing himself back as a quarterback. And I think Washington can be that. I don't know why. Head coach is a great guy. Like, everybody across the league loves him to death. I've known him since going all the way back to Seattle, or at least been covering him going all the way back to Seattle. And, you know, the general manager, very well thought of. I loved the draft class. I don't know why anybody would have negativity around this team right now. You've had an opportunity to pile on for decades. Like, just get over it. So, like, enjoy it.
Yeah. Let them be happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we can, let's zoom out from Washington, right? And I'm curious, do you buy the Vikings?
I do. I actually do. First off, defensively, again, Flores is just he is at his peak. Like, he is – this is – in terms of his ability, like, coordinating that defense, the things that he's doing, again, the post-snap, you know, the disguises, the post-snap rotations, all these different things that he's doing is just on a whole other level. Like, I know he sued the league and – you know, he aired out Stephen Ross and all this stuff. He's got to be, to me, I'm like, if you want to win games, you know, he's got to be back at head coaching list. Like, regardless of whatever, you know, how salty you are over, you know, however he handled himself and the Tua thing and all that. You know, I think he is just at such a high level right now as a coordinator, which is one thing. And then secondly, you know, I'm one of those ones that for the longest time, I'm like, the wheels are going to come off of Darnold. Like, the wheels are going to come off of this guy. Like, right. I was there, and, you know, I covered him, you know, covered the league when he was with the Jets, and I saw that, and I saw, you know, the Carolina experience. And when he went to San Francisco, and I went through San Francisco, you know, you talk to Kyle Shanahan, you talk to John Lynch, and they would tell you, they'd be like, look, there's talent there. It's not gone. You know, it's been beaten up. He's been, his confidence is shaken. He's been through some bad situations. He just needs to learn a playbook right now that's being run by a multitude of different teams very successfully. And you'll start to see some of that talent come back through. And I'm like, man, all right, yeah. And then I remember watching him in practice, and I'm like, yeah, Trey Lance is going to get cut or dealt or whatever. Like, Darnold's definitely going to win the backup job. And then when Minnesota brought him in, and they, you know, I talked to Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the GM. You talked to Kevin O'Connell, and they tell you, like, hey, realistically, like, he really could start for us this year. We could slow play J.J. McCarthy and develop him. I'm like, nah, come on. Like, there's just no way. I was definitely a disbeliever. The problem is, through these games, when you're watching Darnold now, he's doing these things that he's never – he was like a one-read-and-panic guy at the end with the Jets. Like, it was like he would – if he didn't have the first read, it was like you could see he instantly was worried about pressure.
That was an actual one-read guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he is not that now, though. He's right. Not. When you watch him – I do this weekly quarterback column on Tuesdays called QB Room, and I had this clip up of him, and I'm like, if you watch this – in the span of like 2 seconds, he goes through three reads. He's in the red zone. I think it was like on the 4 yard line. He throws a touchdown pass to Jalen Naylor. It was a mailbox slot throw, perfect throw. But what was most impressive was that it was clearly his third read. You literally can watch him go through three reads. I'm like, he never did that before. Like, mm-hmm. His confidence level is just on a whole other plateau right now. TJ Hockenson's going to come back. You know, Addison's back. I mean, it's just the productivity of the offense is remarkable right now. And I do. I think this is a scenario where you're like, wow, right coach, right scheme, right players around him, you really can kind of reclaim a guy who, let's not forget, had a ton of talent coming out of USC, but a lot of things to clean up.
When someone shows you that they believe in you, boy, you could do some amazing things, brother.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Oh yeah.
Geno, real quick, when Geno, I remember when Geno Smith went to Seattle. And I was talking to one of their executives, and he's like, I'm telling you, man, isn't Geno the backup? He's like, I'm telling you, like, Geno could start for this team. Like, Geno, like, and, you know, you're hearing stuff about Russ, like, is it possible that they would move on from Russ, all this stuff? And I'm like, you're crazy, man. I'm like, what? Like, come on, man. Like, this guy's a journeyman. He's never going to be it's past. It's over. Like, the opportunity to be a quality starting quarterback. He's like, I'm just telling you, like, the belief that the team has in him, the way they gravitate toward him, the staff, you know, just this overall surrounding belief that he had there. And then when he got his opportunity, you saw what he did. And you talk to Geno, he'll tell you. He's like, yeah, having people believe in you and, you know, being in a situation where your confidence comes back, it completely can, you know, change you as a player.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, Charles, really appreciate it, man. I really enjoyed this, man.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys. Call me anytime.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. Really good. Really, I think, nailed it with Jaden, how much excitement there is, and that it's kind of not really a surprise. This is who he is. But, man, Commanders got a big-time matchup on their hands Sunday against the Browns.